Governor Tony Evers last week signing the state budget into law, not before making several partial vetoes. And joining us on the final segment of the show, Republican State Representative Joan Baldwig of Markazan. Great to have you on the program.
Happy to be with you.
There was a lot of talk in the days leading up to the signing of the budget. What would the governor do? Was he going to exercise his powerful veto pen to make partial vetoes? Was he going to veto the entire budget document? In the end, he made the partial vetoes. What's your reaction to the governor deciding against? I mean, there were some people who were pressuring him to veto the entire document, and he decided against that.
Well, I think that was the best course of action, was to use his veto power to tweak some things in the budget, but to sign the budget. I do believe that it's the best budget we would have gotten through the legislature at this point. There would have been additional challenges to get a budget passed if we had had to backtrack again. So I think that it was a good thing. What we were hearing from schools, our counties, individuals who were interested in getting the roads fixed, that we were making great strides in moving forward, and all of these entities were happy with what we were doing in the budget as it was. Now, all that being said, there's more money in K-12. There's some funding revenue available now to work on road projects and all of that. Our counties have gotten a long way in getting to some of the Child Protective Services funding that they needed because of our increased kids needing protection in foster care because of our opioid epidemic and so on. So that's all good things, and I'm glad we could come together on many of those things. But there were 57 vetoes. Interesting thing, in many of these cases, the governor deleted individual programs, direction for money that was put into individual programs, and either put back in the general fund or put back into funds that were allocated to either the Department of Transportation or the Department of Public Instruction, with the comment that the agency would be the one that would be making the determination how to use some of those funds. A couple of examples are the extra money for additional assistant district attorneys around the state. Instead of using the list that we all receive from the Department of Justice and from the DAs, those specific name positions were taken out, and the authority to assign those positions was given to the Department of Administration. Something else that I was really hopeful for was over 90 million dollars put in local road improvement programs, and the governor reduced that amount and to 75 million, but put it in the Department of Transportation for them to use as they saw fit. And so what we were trying to do, especially us as rural legislators, were trying to do, was to make sure that some of that new revenue that was coming in was going to be directed to our counties, towns, villages, and cities so that they could be more responsive in fixing their local roads. And I know many of our cities, villages, and towns have been hit really hard with some of the flooding that happened, especially this spring, and have maintenance that needs to be done, and that they are doing, that was not budgeted for because they were emergency situations.
All right. But they still could see money depending on what DOT decides to use that money for.
They could, but now it's going to be up to legislators, the county association, the League of Municipalities, the towns association, now to go knock on the governor's door and the DOT's door and make the case. We made the case. They made the case to the legislature that this was a high priority, and that's why it was put in the budget. Now they have to go back to those same entities, especially the DOT, when there are other competing factors. So it's they're almost going back to square one again in trying to fight for the money to fix their roads.
Given all of the back and forth during the budget process when Joint Finance was crafting the budget, Governor Evers' proposed budget, and making it their own, given all of that, some of the words that were exchanged from time to time, and now seeing the final document, are you satisfied with the compromises? And you just pointed out some of the things that you would have liked the governor not to have done, but overall, do you feel comfortable with this budget and the way it ultimately worked out? I guess what's your impression of this governor? I know he's a Democratic governor. It's not a budget that if Walker had been reelected that you would have been working with. But I guess what's your impression of what he was able to do and what he eventually did?
Sure. I think it's very similar to a budget that would have been done under the Walker administration also, in that we were again increasing that funding for K-12. As a group, we all understood that we needed to put more money in our counties for child protective services, and we actually, the legislative budget doubled what the governor had allocated for that, and that stayed pretty much intact from what the legislative budget was. We did come up with a compromise, although it was different, on coming up with a way to gain a little bit more revenue to actually impact repairing our roads and making sure that all the projects stayed on board. Another thing that we were all very much on board with was addressing some of the issues with our criminal justice system and more money for treatment and diversion courts, all of those kinds of things that we've been doing over the last 8 years to continue to build on. So I think that whichever side of the aisle you were on, you knew that those were valuable programs. And we did still put more money into the rainy day fund again. It's the highest that it's ever been. And we have been able to come up with funds for that middle tax cut, and still holding the line on property taxes. So I think overall it's a good budget that we can all take pride in. We just have a little more work to do in trying to discern where some of those dollars that got swept into more general fund areas could still be directed into some of the need areas that we highlighted in the legislature's budget, doing more for school districts like Green Lake that get no state aid. We put a little more money in for minimum aid, making sure that our low funding districts have a little more leeway. We haven't gotten the final runs from the Fiscal Bureau yet as to how some of these changes are going to be affecting our particular school districts. I would think in general it should mean a little bit more money, but not some of the targeted money that we had intended, especially in our rural districts. So we'll update folks as soon as soon as those documents get put together.
All right. The Republicans aren't going to try to override any of the vetoes, are they?
There hasn't been discussion on that at this point. There are a few things that I'm sure, at first blush, looking at those 57 vetoes, there are things that people said, oh, we should maybe take a look at this or take a look at that. But, of course, you need two-thirds of the legislature that's seated to do a budget override. In the assembly where we have 63 members, we don't have two-thirds. We don't have two-thirds there, and certainly the Senate doesn't have two-thirds. So it would have to be something that would be very much bipartisan action, something like putting money into that local road improvement program. I would think would be one thing that even Democratic rural legislators might be interested in trying to target that money for their locals, but we'll see. There hasn't been discussion on any of those things at this point.
All right. Very good. Republican State Representative Joan Baldwin of Markazan. Joan, it's always a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a great day.